on the morning, the dark night will fade away if you speak to my heart. Speak to my heart, Holy Spirit, give me the words that will bring new life. Words on the wings of the morning, my dark nights, they'll fade away if you speak to my heart. Speak to my heart, Holy Spirit, message of love to encourage me, lifting my heart from despair. How you love me and care for me, will you speak to my heart? Speak to our hearts, Lord. Give us your holy word. If we can hear from you, then we'll know what to do. We can't go alone. We'll never go on our own. Let your spirit guide and let your love abide. Speak to our heart, Lord. Give us your holy word. If we can hear from you, then we'll know what to do. We can't go alone. We can never go on our own. Let your spirit guide and let your love abide. Speak to our hearts. Speak to our hearts. Lord God, we come before you on this day, praying that you will speak to our hearts. Lord, for we know that we have not gathered here together by our will alone, but by your grace and your mercy have we come to this divine moment. Lord, by the favor and the love of your children, an invitation to come before the flock that you have given unto Claire. God, we thank you and ask that you would move anything that is unlike you out of the way, that we may live and feast from your holy word. Speak to our hearts, God, for we know that there is much work that you have called us to do. We bless your name. By the power of your Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you? Thank you. As am I, and thank you so much for the graciousness of the invitation to come before this wonderful congregation that God has blessed you to under shepherd. Pastoring myself, I know how delicate that discerning of who can and who cannot come is before the people that God has granted you graciously enough to care for. So I know what that takes. Again, thank you. And then for many of you in the audience, I am going to say Vista Grande Community Church. You might have thought that you were going to get away with some stuff, but as I sat in worship this morning, I recognized that Pastor Claire and I are really very similar. I don't know if she gives homework assignments. Do you give homework assignments?
It's implied.
But it is very much, the sermonic experience is very much an engaged experience. Nobody came here for a show. And that is not the work that God has called us to do. So you might have to pull out pen and paper, phone to Google or whatever. But it is what the Lord requires of us. We are in the month of January, and January marks a lot of beginnings and newness and even remembrance for many of us. There are holidays and happy days, and we are looking at what the weather does in January. Sadly enough, it hasn't done enough of this here in Colorado. I was sharing with Claire that I was in Buena Vista and Salida yesterday, and I could see how much the lack of snow and precipitation has impacted the communities out there. And while many of us might be like, oh, who wants to march in the snow? It means a lot that we are getting this now for what it will mean in July and August and September. So I am grateful on this snowy January morning that God has still called us to this place. I see our young people back here. They are wonderfully making and working on their art project of filling in this dove. You all are back in school, right? Yay, excited for that? No. I was always happy to be in school. Needless to say, that's why I spent an extra 12 years after high school going to school. But you all had a holiday recently, yes? What holiday was that? Martin Luther King Jr. Day. Every January, people around the world come back to remembering and celebrating the life of Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. What do you remember about the holiday, or do you all remember anything about Dr. King? What did your teacher tell you about this man? What did he do? I'm sorry? Help slavery. Okay, I need to talk to your teacher. No. He was a peaceful protester. Did he write speeches? Do you remember any of his speeches? I have a dream. A lot of times when we come to January, there are so many of us around the globe that remember Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King, but unfortunately, we remember him so much out of context. We remember a man who had a dream and transformed and changed the world into this wonderful beacon of joy and hope that we live in now. We remember this wonderful vision, and we take snippets of this dream. Well, maybe, let me hold off. Can anybody recite the 6 pages of I Have a Dream? Nobody? No takers? So we remember snippets and pieces and have truncated a man's life into the phrase of I have a dream, or one day my children will be judged for the content of their character and not the color of their skin, or we even remember let justice, right, roll down. But we don't remember in context the fullness of what it took for this man to even articulate such a dream. And then we also take out of context that what he spoke and envisioned was rooted in the Word of God that came centuries and lifetimes and spans long before he could even articulate the words. That there was a voice crying out in the wilderness by the name of a prophet, Amos. One who didn't wake up in the morning and go out to work and say, "Today I shall be a prophet." In fact, he, like many of us who have been tapped and touched by the hand of God to go and do a work for God, resisted and said, "But Lord, I'm here, I'm good with these sheep. Me and my sheep, we flock is good, no wolves came at night, the gate is protected. You want me to do what?" I grew up watching Different Strokes, so I always tell at Ebenezer, I'm like, "What you talking about, Willis?" That is my conversation with God. "What you talking about, Willis? You want me to do what?" Every time the Lord gives me another task, Claire was asking, "How do you do it all?" I promise you it is the grace of God. Because if it were me, popcorn and Lifetime, maybe Netflix would consume my time. But that is not what God would have for me. And so we have taken the life and the memory of a man so far out of context and truncated it into bits and pieces of sayings that still have power, but would mean so much more if we took the time to sit with them more often. Most of us, we remember honorably the life of Dr. Martin Luther King. But there are some of us who are in the room today, and this is not a snub at all, it just is what it is, who remember the 1950s and the 1960s. And as we look at the pictures and notice the crowds that came out to fill the Washington Mall, unlike a year ago, the level of crowds that poured out, we look at those images and say, how greatly hailed was this man. We remember him as a drum major of justice, but not as one that many people despised. That his dream in reality was a nightmare for a country comfortable in their slumber. And I say that it was a nightmare for a country comfortable in their slumber because he called them to wake up. Wake up from the idle ideas that everything was already just fine. We tell ourselves that if I had been there, because Claire, no. If I had been there, then I would have been marching. I would have been protesting. I would have had the dog sicked on my back. When in reality, he was labeled a troublemaker. There were many people in his own community who wanted him to go somewhere and be quiet because their jobs of cleaning homes and picking up trash and being dehumanized, it was at least a job. And he was disrupting too much of the comfort of their lives. There were many people around the world who despised later as he did not honor an unjust war and how he brilliantly articulated his resistance against Johnson. But for many people, he had gone too far. And so on the day of his death, a week after the Memphis March, when people around the world were saying, "Is nonviolence really the answer?" Because it ended very abruptly in violence. And before he wrote the speech, "I have been to the mountaintop," there were many people calling for his silence. There were many people who wanted him to go away, who were not happy with what he had been given in the spirit to say. And so on this morning, I ask us to revisit those words that inspired him, even in the deed that he was called to do and the life that he was willing to sacrifice. I hear in your mission as a community brought together by Spirit that there's a desire to be a just peace church. And there is work that the United Church of Christ has been doing for years now in moving congregants and congregations forward in preparing themselves for this work. And so when we find these words in the book of Amos, we find Amos speaking the word of the Holy Spirit, saying, "Is the day of the Lord really what you want?" So, when Amos began his ministry, people around him were actually rather excited. Why do you think they were excited? Have we read the book of Amos lately? Anyone? When's the last time we have read? I know, I get it. You don't have to answer it and declare ourselves spending too much time on social media and not in the Word. But for many of us, we actually don't spend a lot of time in Old Testament scripture. New Testament is like a lot lighter and loving, and you know, and you have Jesus who's always trying to feed everybody and take care of folks' needs. Who wants to go back to fire and brimstone, right? So most of us don't spend a lot of time really poring over Old Testament scripture because we're like, God was angry all the time. All the time. And he was angry all the time about something. Justifiably so, but God is presented very differently, especially in the scriptures of the prophets. But many people were okay with Amos in the beginning of his teachings because Amos spoke to the evils and the wrongs of the nations that surrounded Judah, the nations that surrounded Israel. It's all good when God is ready to call out your enemies, right? When God is like, get your stuff together because you're doing my people wrong. However, by the time we get to the fifth chapter of the book of Amos, what has God done? He has turned the mirror around. And for any good parent in this room, we know and we understand what that looks like. It's one thing to go outside and have your mom show up and she is blaming and blasting everybody else on the playground out and telling them to go home to their mamas and their daddies because they acting a fool. But when she snatched you by your collar because you've been acting just as foolish, you know that ride home or that walk home is not going to be as pleasant, because there's only so much that is going to happen to the others, but you know the reality and the fullness of what she can do unto you. And I know many of you, you all are in here, and you're like, I never had those problems with my mom. I was like the greatest kid. My brothers and sisters, they, however, you know, every time every time they got in trouble, I was that kid. It's horrible, right? I was that, and I didn't learn my lesson. I was that kid to always tattle on folks and be like, Mom, look what I found in Angie's purse. Because we weren't allowed to wear makeup or anything like that. And I would always be going through my older sister's stuff. And I'd be like, Mom, look what I found. And my mom would go off on my older sister. And then she would go off on me. And I'm like, but wait a minute. I just told you about her wrong. And she was like, yes. And you shouldn't have been going through her stuff. And the tattling and the desire to even see someone else in trouble is going to get you in trouble. So we are here in Amos, in the fifth chapter, where he comes to the people of God after laying it out for everybody else in the nations around him. And he says, hear this word which I take up against you. A lamentation, O house of Israel. We find ourselves not just with a God who is angry, but a God who is full of sorrow and grief. Grief for his people who he knows he has given good instruction to. His people who he has blessed throughout the ages. This is a moment of prosperity for the nation of Israel right now. They weren't suffering. Their economy was flowing. Things were looking good. People were working. And yet God is saying, I have a lamentation against you. Oftentimes we think that in our lives when we are being blessed, when everything is going right, when the bank account is full and our children are in safe places and there seems to be no trouble around us, that that is an indication that God is extremely pleased with our behavior. That our prosperity is a sign of God's stamp of approval on our lives. But as we read Amos and we look at what was happening in Israel in this time, it was a moment of peace. It was a moment of prosperity. But God was not happy. Any idea as to why? I promise you, if you go home and read Amos, like, it's all there. I didn't have to, like, research too hard. It literally is all there. And he says unto them that you, Israel, you tread down the poor. You take grain taxes from him. You have built houses of hewn stone. You will not live in them. And as you have planted pleasant vineyards, you shall not drink the wine from them. For I know your manifold transgressions and your mighty sins. You, Israel, are afflicting the just and taking bribes, diverting the poor from justice at the gates. You, Israel, have sought evil and not good. So even though their coffers and their the economy was so good and the nation was at peace, the Lord came and said, you have not treated the poor fairly. You have, and this was literally happening at the time, you are selling your kindred into slavery. You are taxing those who don't have in the beginning to even give. I know you all were like, what's a grain tagger? You are taxing the weakest and the poorest among you as you plant vineyards for yourself to bask in your wine. Now, for me, I have never planted a vineyard, wouldn't know what to do first, foremost, or what have you. I personally don't know what a grain tax is, but any taxes don't sound right to me right now. But when I think of this and I think about what is going on in our nation, every time I do pick up my cell phone or every time I do turn on CNN, I can ask myself, is God speaking to me? Is he speaking to us? And if he were speaking to us, would he lament over our behavior? Would there be an indictment? Because the I have a dream speech is an indictment where King asks for us to stop playing foul and bouncing our moral check. To actually do the work of love and justice instead of proclaiming that there are insufficient funds. When I look at where we are in this nation and the call for justice to run down like water and righteousness a mighty stream, I ask myself, what does the day of the Lord really look like? Because it will disrupt my idea of safety and peace and comfort. When we ask ourselves, let justice run down like water, are we asking, do we take in those that have not necessarily come by the ways and the rivers that we think they should enter into our nation? And do we open the gates to allow them to not have to deal with the oppression that they did not create for themselves? When we ask ourselves to let justice run down like water and righteousness a mighty stream, do we have to have the difficult conversation around black lives do matter as well as police lives, but they don't matter the same, and there are nuances in the ways in which we must approach this conversation. When we ask ourselves and we ask of God to allow justice to run down like mighty waters, does it mean that part of my prosperity has to be given unto those who are they are not indoors on a days like this, where they have slept, and some of them, and we will know, and many of them will go unknown, who are dying as we speak, as we worship, as we ask the Lord to prepare us to be a sanctuary. I preached a sermon a little while ago about moving in a nevertheless spirit. When we ask the Lord to make us a sanctuary, we are asking the Lord for resistance. We are asking the Lord that the opposition will come to our doorsteps. We are asking the Lord that we would have to stand in the face and to put our lives on the line for the peace and the protection of someone else. Sanctuaries are sturdy, sanctuaries are firm, sanctuaries are not always the safest place to be because they are targets by those who don't want people who are running to them to be safe. And so Amos asks, is the day of the Lord light? Because it comes with a great sacrifice for justice to run down like waters in our nation. I am encouraged to find that this church, among other churches that are looking at themselves and pleading with the Lord to be just seeking churches, to do the work that is our moral imperative, that is a moral beauty amongst us. I am encouraged by your hopefulness. I am encouraged by the willingness to put yourself on the line. But God is also instructing us to be mindful of what we are indeed asking. Moral beauty is not convenient. It is courageous. And we are asking ourselves that as we look around the world today, to go back to Cayenne, y'all thought I wasn't paying attention. She gave y'all homework. To go back to Cayenne's question, what is the social justice issue burning in your life? And to be mindful of the sacrifice that it takes to make what is unrighteous right. It might mean that Vista Grande is open on days where you actually want to be at home. It may mean that in a community that is resistant to you, that you are standing in love always. Someone texted me this morning, and I'm going to pull up the picture. I'm not just, you know, like, what's going on my phone, because I can't keep my eyes off of it. But this image and message was so apropos for this morning. It says, your kindness may be treated as your weakness, but still be kind. Your help to others may go unneeded and unnoticed, but still be helpful. If you are honest and frank, people may cheat you, yet still be honest. The good you do today, people will often forget tomorrow, yet do good always. Because the work you do is between God and you, and it was never between you and them. When we ask the Lord to let justice run down like water and righteousness a mighty stream, we are asking the Lord to strengthen us in our faith, to encourage us when we are weak, to stand or hold us up when we are no longer able to stand. Can you be a just church? Absolutely. But when you allow the Lord to lead you in the places that you are unable to go alone. Thank you.